It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Nothing in the world can prepare you for Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. No description does it justice. No warning truly gives you an idea of what you're in store for. Few movies are as bizarre, yet oddly compelling at the same time. And that is a review from IMDb about this week's movie, Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
You know what? I think I could sum it up real quick. If the Step Up series went back to the 80s, and had a mostly black cast and decided to not make any sense or have any sort of a real plot whatsoever. There you go.
You know what? I would rather watch this than watch any of the Step Up movies.
Oh, but they've got attractive people dancing around in all various states of undress. And they take it to the streets.
Basically everybody in this movie was in skimpy clothes,
too.
They
take it to the streets more than they did in this movie, Corey.
But that's the whole point of this movie. Is taking it to the streets.
Okay.
That was like the thing at the end.
Anyway.
Yeah, that
we
was...
We should introduce ourselves.
This is very true. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC.
And this is the B-Movie Breakdown, a podcast, weekly podcast, where we watch the good, the bad, the what the fuck. And this movie had some very huge what the fuck moments. I knew it was going to be a dance movie, but I didn't know it was going to be a movie that wanted was just a dance movie that... Couldn't have got made unless they had some sort of plot, so they had to throw in some sort of plot device to mix things up, because, God, it was just, it was so much dancing. So much dancing.
I haven't seen this much unnecessary dancing since The Wiz, which also had lots of unnecessary singing.
Yes, and this did too. It had lots of unnecessary singing. I even wrote that down at one point. I literally wrote almost that exact statement down, actually. Yeah. What you were saying before about Step Up, I think in this movie, very dressed with very little clothes. No, none of the women ever wore bras. Not once. I never saw any sort of a bra being worn at all. If it was, it was on the outside of their... That was just what they were wearing. That's it.
I'm a big fan of Ozone going to dinner at a big fancy rich person's mansion in like a sleeveless leather jacket. Just zipped up at the very bottom, just like, you know, chest hair hanging out everywhere. Just like, what's up, Kelly's mom? Yeah, I'm her boyfriend, maybe. Probably banging her. You don't know, but
I like to,
whatevs.
I like to eat pizza with a shirt off, with my fly half unzipped. That's how I roll.
Well, hey, Captain Winky likes a pizza, too.
This is very true. We'll be weird.
Of course it is.
Big sausage pizza. I mentioned IMDb before. There was another review that I found on here that says, I think Breaking 2 is one of the best movies ever. It seems that most of the movies of this generation have, in a sense, reverted back to the plot of older movies. The characters are as natural as the common man, not acting with skills that make the character relevant to the audience.
No, you know what movie had natural characters? Sleepaway Camp, and that was a slasher movie.
We can relate to the situation that is taking place as the lives of children are disrupted by commercial businessmen. Because, you know, this situation happens every day. All, you know, people that just start dancing for no reason. By the way, when they did some of the dancing, in the beginning, there's that huge dance scene. They're all going through the streets. We'll get to the how many different people are dancing in a minute. But they go from the streets to all of a sudden the park to back to the exact street where they left off on.
Well,
going down the hill where there's no park in sight. It's clearly a neighborhood.
Well, jogging isn't for everybody, so clearly get a flash mob together and run your laps as a flash mob, but don't run them, dance them. And I think even though you're not running, you'll end up burning more calories as long as you're as vigorous as can be.
Maybe if you're in a dancing flash mob, you can, like, teleport. Like, you get places faster.
Oh, that would be wonderful. It'll be like in Jason the Wheeled Warriors, where Sawboss would say his little rhyme and his bass would teleport everywhere. They're doing their little rhyme, except it's a song that's going, and they have to keep moving to work the spell. popping and locking for days, son.
The characters, I mean, in this movie alone, Ozone and Turbo, I don't know what was going on with them quite. Like, where did they live? What was that place? There was one bed, by the way.
Yeah.
One bed in their barn or shack that they lived in.
Oh, and it was one of those where, like, you like, press down on it and it folds up into the closet. Yeah. But only there wasn't even a closet. It just goes up against the wall.
Yeah, no, it was a window.
Like, you know, I wonder how awkward it would be to, like, be having, like, vigorous sex in there. Like, would that trigger the mechanism and fling you up against the wall? Like, break your neck? Like, yep, dad having sex in one of those shitty flip-up beds.
Or if you're having vigorous sex and, like, then Turbo's just sitting there watching.
Vigorously wanking on the bed and then he sets it
up. Or just waiting to go to bed.
Oh, God.
Just, you know. I guess I have to wait.
Frasier reruns again, I guess.
Or I'll just hang out with this creepy doll we have hanging out in our house.
Well, you know, they didn't have real girls back then.
Their only purpose for that doll in the movie, and their purposes, other purposes going on, but in the movie, was for that one scene.
Yeah.
Reason.
You know, like, I saw it there, and, like, I thought it was kind of weird, but I thought, well, it's the 80s. Sometimes they had weird background pieces, but nope. And they pick it up and start dancing with it, and then it, like, turns into real people, sort of, and oh boy.
And there's the scene where Turbo is dancing by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed that scene, because I enjoyed that they, and I even thought about this when watching it. I was like, that reminds me of the scene in Nightmare on Elm Street, where Johnny Depp, where he gets pulled through the thing. Well, they did it then, and they used it when the girl gets on the, ripped up the ceiling and mm-hmm. stuff. They use that rotating room, and they actually borrowed the one from New Line from Nightmare on Elm Street to do that scene.
The one what?
The, like, rotating room.
Oh, okay.
To do that scene.
Wow.
Because, like, I was like, man, this is so cool how he's going from thing to thing, and yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how they did that. Like, it didn't look like it was, like, a, you know, screen trick they did. Or
no,
like,
not at all. I thought it was really well done. And for being as ridiculous of a scene as it was, I really enjoyed it. But I thought, was that, because they were talking about him getting that girl, he was so excited about that girl. Was that solo dancing a metaphor for him masturbating?
No, I think it's just when you have that much built-up sexual tension, it has to get out in some ways, and you know what? If he doesn't get to bang, by God, he's going to defy gravity, maybe, like, laws of physics.
Instead of showing him masturbating, they just showed a solo dance scene.
It's like, if you ignore chicks for long enough, but you still want them really bad, you get to be like Neo from The Matrix a little bit. Like, my God, I haven't been laid in 6 years. I can stop bullets a couple of times.
Yeah, I guess because he starts dancing on the walls, on the ceiling, and if this movie is supposed to be set in any sort of reality, like, how does he have powers? How can he do any of this? It was very bizarre.
Well, what if it was a Truman Show type thing, and at the end you find out that, well, everybody's just watching Turbo's life on TV, and he's been deluded enough by the people around him, the paid actors, to think that, well, this is his world, and he can kind of do whatever he wants, except get the girl, apparently.
Another thought I had, I was saying the masturbation thing, is, what if this was just happening in a small, it was happening in a small area, but at the end a lot of people came out for all this, but what if it was just happening in a really small area, and everybody around was just like, it's always dancing everywhere, like, there's the one scene where everybody starts dancing with them, but what if the mailman and everything was just like, here's these fucking crazy ass kids again dancing everywhere. Everyone just thought they were like the special kids or something, and they thought everybody was dancing with them, and they're just like, well, dancing, see, down the street. Or
that might be the case, but considering they pulled people into their dancing who didn't look like they'd be dancing,
yeah.
A female cop writing a ticket, an old lady with her group of old lady friends decides to join in. I think strangers do think it's weird. But in casting their teleportation dancing spell, they also enchant the people they encounter to join it and give their spell more power. So eventually they could make it to the other side of the world, or even the moon.
I really thought that in the scene where they're having the dance-off against the Electros. Like, what if you just walked by
and
saw this happening?
They put on the radio, and it almost sounds like it would be a Mortal Kombat song. A guy goes, "Attention, you have just entered a battle zone." And then he goes, "Combat." combat sporadically throughout it. Then the one guy pulls out dance nunchucks. I thought, my God, these guys predicted Mortal Kombat before even the game existed. This is amazing.
At the end, he was like, TKO. But we haven't really got to much of the main characters here. Ozone Turbo Kelly.
Ozone Turbo Kelly.
Ozone Turbo
That's Kelly. My gamer handle.
yeah, Ozone Turbo and Kelly. Kelly, played by Lucinda Dickey.
Lucinda Dickey. That's amazing.
Ozone, played by Adolfo Shabadoo Canones. I don't know how to say his last name.
Me neither. Taking
a huge guess there. And then you got Michael Boogaloo Shrimp Chambers, who played anytime they did the Urkel bot on Family Matters, he was the Urkel bot.
Wow.
Inside the suit. Look, I found that. There's only been a trivia about the guy. Because he's only been in like 4 movies and then like 7 episodes of Family Matters.
Well, you know, in one episode they made Urkelbot a cop, so he was Robo Urkel Cop. So I think Robo Urkel Cop needs his own movie once the remake of RoboCop gets out. Because why not? Why not have another quality B movie ripoff of a popular series, franchise?
I've had enough Urkel to last me a lifetime.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't need any more.
Because I don't know if you know if this Boy Meets World sequel series picks up. They're doing a Family Matter sequel series. It's going to be on and Urkel and Laura.
No.
And little Urkel, his son, no. Urkel Jr.
It'll be played by Will Smith's kid.
No. No more Jaden Smith.
But then
Smith.
Will Smith will have to be in it at some point, so I don't know how that would work. He could play Urkel, I guess.
Why?
I don't know. Jaleel White has nothing going on. He probably needs the money.
Yeah, exactly.
He has that show on Sci-Fi. That's about it. It's like some, like,
you just need
in
to
the
do
dark it. Show where you have to feel stuff.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They just need to do another Sonic cartoon, because he was great as Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic.
But honestly, out of all the sitcoms over the years, I think Family Matters is one of in the top 5 that don't hold up at
oh,
all.
Oh, no, definitely not. Watching it, I could tell when they just started disappearing family members.
Their little sister, she went up. They always say that she went upstairs and never came back.
Oh, yeah, that happened to one of the kids on Happy Days, too, I heard, but I never really watched that show.
Yeah. Yeah,
but, oh, God, it was terrible. Because before that, they had, Rachel had the baby, and they like, aged him a little bit to a kid, Richie, you know, and then all of a sudden she just disappeared, and they had a big storyline with Grandma getting married, you know, since her original husband had been dead for a long time, married this guy, Fletcher. Carl doesn't like him, accepts him, and then he's, you know, they finally do that, and then they just sort of disappear the both of them, too, and then they disappeared the little girl, Judy, and they just turned it into, like, the Carl Urkel buddy fight thing, and
then they ended up changing the mom
once
it moved to CBS.
Yeah, oh god, and just the way that they, you know, had like the Urkel's personality and cousin. Oh, now let's just have every episode be Urkel playing 3 different characters or more.
And then they Stefana and Urkel became 2 separate entities.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very insane show.
You know what? I want to have another personality and then make him real.
And then the show ended with Urkel in space and you don't know what happened. He got stranded in space and you'll never know because the show got canceled.
You know what? Maybe
cliffhanger.
Maybe Alf's spaceship picked him up on the way back because the government snatched Alf. Like, well, we got to get somebody back with us, Urkel. And then he'll have to convince them, like the aliens on American Dad, why he needs to go back to Earth. Because he loves Laura, but the snobby bitch doesn't love him back because Laura is all about, you know,
nope,
appearances.
At that point, they were a thing.
Was very
officially
forced.
Yeah, it was
Urkel should have gone with Myra. She was hot and she liked him for who he was. She thought geeks were sexy. But anyway, we watched a different movie, so not the timeline of Family Matters.
We got way off track on Family Matters. That's a whole other episode. We'll cover the entire series.
No. I'm going to watch a series. It's going to be
no, we won't watch it. We'll just talk about it.
Okay. Like, no, I'm buying us both the complete series on DVD.
I couldn't handle like more than two episodes, probably. It's so unbearable. It's really hard to watch. I tried to watch it not long ago, and I was just like, God.
Well, I'm sure the first couple seasons would be all right, but after that.
Anyways, back to Break Into Electric Boogaloo. I also noticed somebody else's nickname was Sugarfoot.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get their first and last name, but I noticed their name was Sugarfoot.
Was
and
it Buck Strickland?
What was his girlfriend who shot herself?
Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie. Yeah, shot herself in the with a shotgun. I like the opening credits of the dance moves. I thought that was pretty cool, though they rehashed some of the scenes later on in that, and some of the clothing they were wearing was very almost reminded me of like Class of Nukem High, but they weren't punk rockers, like they were breakdancers.
Well, a lot of the black characters in this movie seem to be going for a real Michael Jackson look.
Some of them,
especially Turbo at the end. My God, he's just completely ripping off the Thriller dance.
No, well, that wasn't him. That was some other little kid.
No, well, somebody was ripping off the Thriller dance. Yeah, it was a little doing that, but
it was that little black kid from.
But
earlier.
Alternately, Ozone and Turbo were kind of dressing like Jacko, especially from Beat It.
Except for the Ozone's mullet he had going on.
Oh yeah, but I mean
he had,
clothes.
Like, the mega. Oh yeah, clothes definitely. Except, and I loved Ozone's Civil War hat that he donned many times throughout the movie. He even wore it to dinner.
Yeah.
I loved Kelly's parents as well. I thought they were hilarious characters. The dancing is bad and wrong.
Why aren't you going to Princeton? Well, she's been auditioning for dance parts and all that. At least she's not spending time with those street people anymore. Street people, like, does she hang out with the homeless? That'd be funny. Like, she just dons her filthy coat.
That's really, like, slippers. Really, this whole movie, that's what it is. It's Kelly, in her head, she thinks she's hanging out with Ozone and Turbo, these amazing dancers. But really, Ozone and Turbo are just these two homeless guys she hangs out with.
They got her to smoke some crack or something in the alley. And this is a dream that's going on in her
head. They're standing in front of like a Blockbuster video. You're not taking away miracles!
Oh,
everyone's like, look at these crazy homeless people with this white girl. What's going on here? But, yeah. Really, really insane. I guess because we never saw Break-In, which apparently a lot of people just saw this one and never saw Break-In. What was this street jazz poster in her room with all of them on it? Maybe that was something from their first movie?
I would assume so, but then again, who knows?
It was a very ridiculous poster, but all three of them were on it. I did notice that. Her, and then apparently she has this boyfriend at some point, Derek.
Oh, I don't think he was a boyfriend. I think he was somebody her parents were trying to force on her, and she didn't like him. And then they just called him her fiancé.
Yeah, later on that was weird. This is what I want to know about Kelly. Apparently, this movie doesn't take place that much longer after the events of the first movie. Why does it seem like Kelly's been gone for, like, 10 years?
What?
They act like she's been gone forever, like... Oh, she comes back and, like, get out of here, Kelly. You don't belong around here. You should have stayed away. Oh, and then when she comes back, they're like, oh my God, Kelly's back.
Oh, well.
Like, it's like a whole thing that she came back.
I just think that's what they do at the beginning of sequels. You know, oh my God, it's you again. Axel Foley, how the fuck are you, man? Like.
Yeah, and she really, and she, her, the introductions to Ozone and Turbo, I really loved. Yeah, and, I really was kind of disappointed when she meets them, well, not meets them, but sees them again for however long it's been, and all the kids are like, oh, Kelly's here, and then that one guy starts rapping out of nowhere, which was really weird, but then he didn't continue it. I was kind of disappointed by that, because I actually kind of liked his, like, rap, and then all of a sudden it just turned into a full-on mega super crazy dance scene with a dancing mailman, a dancing dancing electric workers, dancing street workers, dancing police woman, and dancing safari people. Where did those safari people come from? Why were they there?
I missed the safari people.
It was two people in full-on safari gear, even with the safari hats on.
But the guy that was working on a telephone pole with, like, the strap so he wouldn't fall off the thing, he was, like, trying to dance, but he had to stay on the pole, so he just, like, he was either, like, jacking it or like humping the pole. So that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and right away I didn't really. They show the one kid on the porch dancing, and then the mailman's there, and I was like thinking in my head, no, the mailman's not gonna. Oh, here he goes. Here he goes. Yeah, and then the police officer, she literally stops writing a ticket to dance.
Yep. Well, she still won't turn around and face the camera. She just shakes her ass for it.
Maybe she had to appear later on in the movie, so they didn't want to show her face twice.
A frumpy, upper-middle-aged female cop ass. Just saying. It was not attractive.
And this is also when you're introduced to the Latina...
Oh, don't forget, there was a dancing girl. Mime. Oh, except yeah. He only has a little bit of face makeup on. He's like, so what, is this guy a mime? They thought, no. Then he doesn't say anything. Then he starts miming shit.
The dancing mime, his name is Magician. They say that. They go, this is Magician.
Okay.
And I go, Magician, he's a mime. That was very, very weird. There were a lot of times, anytime anybody got like, I don't know, took any sort of different turn or something that wasn't the full-on breakdancer. Most of the people in this movie were legit real dancers,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you could tell certain people weren't, and then they would have extras be the parts.
Hmm.
And I really noticed a stunt double when Turbo falls down the stairs later on in the movie. He's falling down the stairs, and he has a pretty good amount of hair on his head,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of long. And at one point, multiple times, they show different camera shots, and it's like a buzzed head dude falling down the stairs. I was like, wow, it was so noticeable. I was like, I even paused it one time and I was like, holy crap, what a terrible, terrible continuity mistake. I also really loved the rival group, the Electros. Why didn't their group have a name?
I don't know.
They called the Miracles? Because at the end they go the Miracle Dancers or whatever.
Maybe. I guess we have to see the original to grasp this highly cerebral plot. But
yeah, I wonder if the Electros were in the first movie. I don't know.
I guess they had to put all their effort into restoring that community center because, you know, we all just sort of got together and fixed it up so that, you know, all these neighborhood kids, which are obviously, you know, like 20-something professional dancers, could come and fuck around and dance here. And don't forget our full-on boxing studio in the back because dancers need boxing all the fucking time.
Boxing studio with dancing going on inside of it at the same time.
Dancing outside the ring, boxing inside the ring.
Yeah, seriously, this is literally what it was. And I love how they would dance throughout the facility.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the main characters, as they were giving Kelly the tour. Like, that's what I mean. How long has she been absent? That they got this whole building together. She's never seen it or heard of it. Like, how long has she been absent from this group of people?
Well, maybe. In addition to the other magic that happens while they dance, time slows down as well. And she's been auditioning a lot more than them. So maybe she danced more and time slowed down for her. Though it really has been 10 years for her, while in reality, for everybody else, it's been like 3 months.
It's only, you know, her life only, like, rewound when she got back with them.
Maybe she was just, like, spinning so much, she spun the world backwards like in Superman. Oh, man.
That's how good her dancing is. That she can literally rewind time. It's
so
pretty wild.
I like their terrible attempts at having a plot here because we introduce, like, oh, they got this community center, but supposedly it's got all these building code violations, which I honestly thought was just made up by these people to try to push
so
their agenda.
But apparently
it's real,
yeah.
But... So they're talking to this woman. I don't know if they ever say she's the mayor or a councilwoman or what.
Something along those lines.
They're pushing their idea of tearing down the building to put up a big 80s-esque shopping mall, I guess. I remember the old Jefferson Square Mall kind of looked like that from above.
They kept saying shopping center, but I didn't know if it was going to be like a strip mall or something.
No,
or...
it was one big building.
I assumed
so it
was
going to
be
been...
a mall, some sort of mall.
But, so, she, at first, she goes like, oh, well, where are all those kids gonna go? And then they just like,
just
oh, well,
care.
These things come and go, but malls, man, malls are the thing that fucking lasts. And she's like, oh, well, fuck them then.
She like, immediately changes.
Yeah. You're like, well, I gave changes. You guys a month to raise 200 grand, so, like, it's not my fault.
And how bad was this building that they needed 200 grand?
Well,
it didn't look that terrible, but I guess it must have had some really bad structural issues and, like, wiring problems and... All
See,
sorts of things wrong with it.
I don't even know if it was really just there. Is that something that wrong with it? Just the fact that, you know, costs for that are usually ridiculously astronomical.
But I mean,
Even in 80s time, money.
Yeah, inflation and things like that. Like, nowadays, like, it still seems like a lot of money.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I thought the building was bigger than it was. Like, to me, it looked like almost like the small little town hall from Back to the Future or something. Kind of look
Yeah, and that's why I couldn't believe, how did these people even acquire this building to begin with? Especially the guy who owned it, Byron. You could barely understand the guy sometimes.
Oh yeah.
He's very hard. He didn't talk like with any sort of accent. He almost just talked lazily. Like, trailed off.
Hey, wait, you want to stop by sometime and help? We need all help. No.
You're just trailing off again.
I wonder what it would have been if he could have been the voice of Bane in The Dark Knight Rises.
Just lazy? Lazy lazy Black Bane?
Well, you know,
that sounds really terrible what I just said.
I know this from my emo bitch. Something about her dad died, you know.
Okay, the thing you were saying about the mall. There was nowhere else they could build a mall.
Well,
like, literally,
they've said, if we put it here, property value will only go up. Like, basically, their scheme is,
to get rid of the neighborhood.
Like, post-Katrina New Orleans, yep. Force all the blacks out and we'll raise the property value.
And
why not start here? Put a mall and then it'll get people here to shop and then...
And I felt that shortly around the same time, they had a huge dance montage. And I felt it was out of place, as it should have been... The dance montage should have took place before the big show thing that they were going to plan on doing. You know what I mean? Like, getting ready for the show type of montage. And that's how it felt. But this was a montage for nothing. It was just a montage to show more dancing.
Well, maybe they're getting ready for their first attempt at fundraisers.
Or I guess it was to make you care about the center, as you just learned it was going to be torn down at some point.
Well, you know, Corey, $100,000 is a whole lot of nickels and dimes.
And then, okay, you mentioned before the councilwoman or whoever she was, changing her mind instantly. She goes, what about that dance club, Radiotron? And then somebody else says that, and she goes, oh yeah, you're right. Well then, blah, 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 and then that's when she kind of changes her mind.
Well, a club is generally someplace you gotta pay to get into, and they're not gonna let little kids in there.
Kids could not go there! There's no way they would allow little kids there. So I thought that was so, asinine. To even be like any sort of reasoning.
Well, that sounds like a lot of government officials. Well, I'm a government official, so I know all about everything. So yeah, why not kick down the little local band music venue in Midlothian? Because there was one fight there one time. It's such a liability, and we don't like them anyway. Kick them the fuck out. That really happened, by the way. Fuck Midlothian.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some total bullshit.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they've had way more violence and bullshit at their bars, but nobody's looking to shut down their bars, of course. But kids are involved in it. Maybe somebody could eventually be sued or blamed for this somehow, so let's just shut it down and not give them any sort of a creative outlet, because they got the drugs and pre-teen premarital sex and all that. That'll keep them busy.
We were talking about how, speaking of drugs, I don't know where I wrote this down at. We might have to get to it later when I can follow it better and figure it out. But somebody mentioned how, when they're at the dinner, the dad says something about how all they do, all Ozone and Turbo and all those dancers and street people, all they do is spend their money on drugs and cars and fancy clothes.
Well, it's pretty obvious. At the beginning, Ozone says, how you been doing? Oh, I've been hustling for pennies. Not if your fucking wardrobe is any goddamn indication.
Yeah, I don't know really what they did for a job. They helped out at the community center. I feel like they weren't getting paid to do that. I feel like it was a voluntary. But really, and their home situation made sense of that they make no money. But their clothes and what was inside their house didn't quite make sense. And what was Kelly gonna do if she turns down this huge job in Paris? What is she gonna do?
Yeah, it's easy for her to act all cavalier like she does, and she's got mommy and daddy's money to fall back on all the time.
Yeah, unlike everybody else, nobody.
You guys just don't get it. Give me my next monthly allowance so I could go spend it on my dancing stuff. But not nothing professional, just, you know, around
just in the
again.
Streets with my yeah. two homeless
we'll
friends.
We'll have our show in the streets.
My two homeless
let's have
friends.
Everything in the streets. Let's have sex in the streets, like everywhere.
SOS. Save our streets. Sex on the streets.
Yes. Sex our streets.
Sex
right
our
here,
streets.
Right now. Oh, that light post is good for...
Well, they had 30 days to raise $200,000.
Oh, that's totally reasonable, especially in 1984 money.
Totally reasonable.
$200K or get the fuck out, bitch.
And this is how they planned to raise this money at first. Car wash?
Yep.
$3.
Lemonade stand?
50 cents.
The little kid's doing that.
Balloon animals and some magic of some sort by the mime named Magician. I don't know how much he was... Yeah, I guess he was just getting tips.
Star maps.
Self-portraits, flowers, and yes, star maps. Maps. Star's homes. And well, a little kid is selling them at
yeah,
the street
yeah.
corner.
Like, that's the thing.
And
like, that really exists,
them.
But I imagine, like, they just got a hold of one and then made their own to just, like, undercut, like, all the real local people. Like, buy it from us, it's cheaper, and buy a lot more and tell your friends, but you probably don't have friends because you're just visiting and they're not here, and... Oh, that didn't work, did it?
A little kid. Yeah, the littlest of the kids. Well, they might as well have that little white girl there, too. By the way, she can't dance. Couldn't dance. They never showed her dancing. She did mention one time about dancing.
Little white girl can't dance. I mean, they never showed her dance, but I know she can't dance.
She can't. She said she could, but I know she couldn't dance. There was also some interesting ADR in this movie, especially when Kelly had that dinner with her, I guess, agent?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoever that guy was.
Yeah.
Their mouths weren't almost even matching up to what they were saying half the time. It was so ADR. I was just like, wow, this is just unbelievable. And I really didn't even understand, speaking of Kelly, why that other girl, Rhonda, hated her so much for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know this until way later on that there's like this thing between her and Ozone.
Or maybe it's all just in her head.
Because he plays it off like, oh, crazy bitch, blah, blah,
yeah.
You know, like...
Of course, then again, if I were banging her and wanting to bang somebody else, I'd probably do that, too.
And no offense to... Well, I guess it is kind of offense to Rhonda, but I take Kelly over Rhonda.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help that she doesn't sound very warm or friendly, like, at all in the movie. She just sounds like, You know, her voice, to me, like, she didn't sound like she was black. She sounded like Terrell Rothery, who played Dr. Frazier on the Stargate series.
Wow. Oh, sorry to interrupt that. I just learned something very interesting. This movie was inspired by the events of Radiotron. That was a youth center located in MacArthur Park area and faced demolition. Youth director Carmelo Alvarez rallied the youth and community to march to Los Angeles City Hall in the effort to save Radiotron.
This actually happens in the movie, but they just bust in like a gang and then wonder why they get shut down.
But yeah, that maybe so that's where the Radiotron, why they called the club Radiotron, is inspiration for that. I can't believe something inspired this movie to be real. Because it just seems like a very stereotypical plot thing. Like, to throw in a movie that you really the focus is this, but you just need, like, this generic plot, and the whole, we're being shut down, we gotta go against these people, they're gonna bulldoze the thing. It's a very generic plot. It's been done a million times over again, in various ways. Which is, obviously, this is a very different way. Dance, as opposed to gunfire or something else. I mean, you get a little bit of nunchuck action, but this is about as far as the violence goes. I did like the leader of the Electros. He kind of looked like Wilder Valderrama. I was like, is that Fez? Because he totally had the Fez thing going on.
So I like that they start shit with them by throwing a can of spray paint, or an empty can of spray paint, I guess, through one of their windows and breaking
it. Gas
and then they run outside and the guy just goes, sucker! And they chase them, and then they have their little, like, Mortal Kombat dance fight thing.
And it's
a and, like, why do these guys even have a rivalry? Like, they both like dancing. Like, why is that something?
Honestly, it is, like, not to be offensive or anything like that, but it is the gayest rivalry. It's like the gayest beef ever. Like, they're just, when they like, when they're about to, like, you think fight, they just do dance moves on each other. It's almost like something you'd see in like a parody of something about
gay. Yeah, like,
and it's not though. It's,
remember the Jets and the Sharks? Well, we're way gayer than them.
Yeah, seriously. At least they had knives. But these guys just had nunchucks. And I like,
we just stab each other.
I like the shot of the surveyor.
Oh yeah.
But at first it's just the scope. And I was like, is somebody sniping these kids? Yeah.
Well, you find out at the end that the businessman guy actually wanted the construction guys to kill kids. Yeah. So that would have been nice.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, they're gonna shoot kids. But no, it was really just a surveyor.
Well, he's doing that, and like one of them like shoves a kid. The kid goes, and all of a sudden, like, they start.
Mr. Douglas, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
He pushes a kid.
And a white guy with a star painted on his face. He wasn't the mime. He was somebody else, just pops up for no reason.
Are you sure it was the mime? Because he had a star painted on his face multiple times throughout the movie.
You sure?
Yeah.
I thought he was just another guy, because then he, no, I don't know. With everything else, like,
he was one of the only white guys in the Miracle group.
Just all the other weird shit going on that just seemed like, oh yeah, we do face painting here now too. I got my star, and I'm going to kick your ass for trying to take away my face painting place.
And they're dancing while they're painting their faces.
And then
it's just real sloppy because they're just doing dance moves. Like, I wanted to look like a cat. I just look like a disaster now.
Well, maybe they're going for that. Maybe abstract. Maybe this is where Jeff Hardy got inspiration for his body paint.
Like, he could be in the remake of Breakin'. What if they just remade Breakin' 2? And they literally came out with it and just called it that. Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. They never made another Breakin'.
Oh, that would be amazing. I think that needs to happen. Or, you know what, just drop the Breakin' 2, just call it Electric Boogaloo. That way it'll be edgier. It'll go down with the kids better.
Like, what if they just decided to remake, like, Police Academy 6 instead of any of the other ones? Like,
we'll just call it City Under Siege.
Yeah, what was, or they could just call, like, just use all the subtitles. Mission to Moscow.
Oh, that needs to come first for sure.
Or the Miami one. When didn't they go to Miami?
Assignment Miami Beach.
Oh, God. Why were there like 10 of those movies?
Only 7.
Only 7.
Well, just like the Saw series.
Just shy of the Ocho.
That sounds like it'd be a sex thing. So just shy of the Ocho. How's Cindy? How'd she do last night? Oh, just shy of the Ocho.
I like when you were talking about that, when they're like, oh, I'm going to beat you up. I got my star painted. Ozone comes up in that point. And he does, like, a lunge towards him, but he almost does, he might as well have just been like, hold me back, because nobody was doing it at first, yep. And then all of a sudden he, like, looked back, and then people, like, held him back. Once again, something that would be in a parody of something like this, and not in an actual movie.
And Turbo, oh, girls are whack. Yo, Ozone, you think I got sex appeal? And then he tries to teach Turbo how to game girls in, like, 1980s.
Oh, that was very weird.
Smile? Like this? Creepy smile? Yeah. No, don't do that. Don't smile at all.
He wanted to know how to
not
bang.
You, yeah, creepy.
He wanted to know how to bang chicks.
Well, then they have to start dancing with the dummy in the room.
Before that, though, they show that Latin group dancing in the park. Are those people just always dancing on that stage in the park?
I hope so.
Why is there a stage in the park to begin with? Did they build that themselves? And they're always dancing. Every time they go there, though, that group is on that stage dancing, doing the same thing.
Isn't that amazing? Maybe it's like a marathon dance session for charity.
Well,
like,
that
somebody
one girl
always
stopped,
has to be
she
moving.
She ruined it. She
it's
stopped.
Not that everybody up there has to be moving, just there has to be a group up there at all times.
And can you believe it that the girl that played that Latina girl, she actually did not speak Spanish. So all of her lines were dubbed by another actor.
I thought she seemed a little weird, but that was just like too, like,
por favor.
Like that. Like, seriously, like,
por favor. Si. No. No es bueno. She couldn't say that, though. Like, it wasn't that.
No. Just like Consuela from Family Guy. Can't you, like, try at least a little fake Spanish? Or
no. No. They might as well just hit her with a little hand puppet, Jennifer Lopez style from South Park.
My name is Jennifer Lopez. I like you, Turbo. Taco flavored kisses for my band.
Maybe she just lives in there.
Oh my god, yes. When Turbo's in the hospital, they're like, oh, wait, we got a surprise for him. There's this tiny little closet. They open it up, and his girl gets out. Why is she in there in the first place? And the kids start asking that and making other comments, and one of them just goes, maybe she lives in there.
So ridiculous. The apparently, Christopher McDonald, who plays Shooter McGavin in Happy Gilmore, he's been in a ton of movies. But he was in the original one, and he was offered the chance to reprise his role of James from Breaking, but he turned it down.
Wonder why.
I'm surprised he was even in a dance
Probably
movie.
Probably why Vin Diesel didn't want to be in Too Fast, Too Furious.
But then he ended up coming back, so... In
yeah, well...
The fourth one, and the fifth one, and
the
sixth
one. The
little
bit that I saw, the second one, was just... Was
just like
awful.
He didn't want to come back for XXX2 State of the Union. So they got Ice Cube instead. And threw Exhibit in the mix. Why not? Why not?
Well, you know, that helped Exhibit get his way into X-Files, too, I'm sure. And we are all richer for that.
So he was also in Chronicles of Riddick. Interesting, you were talking about the doll before, too. Before I got on the whole Latin group thing. And by the way, what was with the fat guy in the Hawaiian shirt at the dance thing? He was a very interesting character. Random one-off type one-off character.
Well, somebody had to be there to jerk it to all these kids dancing around in various states of undress. It wouldn't have been him. It would have had to have been me. Then I wouldn't have been able to take notes.
It's true. It's very true. So the doll that they had sitting in there, right away when it turned into Kelly, I instantly thought like, oh, so like how he's... What does he do? What has he been doing with this while Kelly's been away for so long?
Oh. The right kind of stuffing, you could have been doing a lot. Although some of those synthetic fibers, I hear, chafe your dick. Just saying. Not that I know.
Not
personally.
That you know personally? Alright, take your word for it. When they were at dinner, one part that really drove me crazy. When they were at dinner, they were waiting for their dad, for the dad to come down. The doorbell rings, and Kelly goes, maybe that's dad.
He could have been out.
Why would he ring the doorbell to his own house?
Because he could have been holding two briefcases from two very important meetings, and being the rich man that he is, decided to have the help get the
but
door for him.
But he was upstairs,
him.
And the mom knew. She didn't say...
Kelly might not have known that. She just came home.
Yeah, but the mom didn't go, no, it's not dad. They just don't let the door open, and all of a sudden, Derek walks in.
Well, they are in too nice of a neighborhood to have to worry about a serial killer or a gangbanger being on the other side of that when they open it. However, I do like that when they show up, they're just like, oh man, they got so much money. And then when they come into the place, you know, Ozone is like decent to the maid who answers the door for him, like kind of shakes her hand, whatever. Hi, how do you do? And then goddamn Turbo decides to, what does he do? He like, doesn't he like sniff her like a dog or something? He does like his weird like yeah. popping and locking thing, or like he tries to like half start like a half dance with her and then like, oh, it was so weird. It was just...
What were they,
okay,
what were
he touches the maid's face almost while he's doing the weird popping, locking shit. And he's like, oh, this is our cat. And he starts making weird faces at the cat and scares it off. And then Derek comes in, a lawyer in a bow tie, which is not going to happen. You're not going to wear a bow tie, especially not in L.A. courtrooms. But anyway, then they both, Ozone and Turbo, both decide to, like, sort of, like, sneak, like, creep up on him and, like, do popping and locking while they're doing it and, like, sniff and, like, almost touch him. Like, they look like they're going to try to, like, take his wallet out of his back pocket or something. Either that or touch his ass, one of the two. And, like, keeps looking back to them and they're just, like, doing weird dance shit and making retard-ass faces. And, like, oh, this is what you want to do? You know this guy's your competition? You want to act retarded around him and make it look like you're better than him? Like, oh, what the fuck? It's like... Like something a little kid would do.
Well, they are little kids at heart. Because the guy who played Ozone, if he had been his actual age in the movie, he would have been 29 years old. A 29-year-old just living in a shack, dancing around in the streets.
Well, that's the way to do it.
Well, one thing I really liked in this movie was the multiple cameos by Ice-T.
Oh, yeah.
A very young Ice-T.
At first I saw that, I was like, it looks like Ice-T. Like, no, it can't be. And at the end, he pops up and they mention him again by name, like, oh, I guess it is.
Yeah. You know what else was very weird? And this was almost as weird as the hospital scene is what was with that guy in the mask, in the old man mask. How did you not see that?
I don't know.
He was at the Radiotron Club two different times, and then at the end, he was on one of the balconies of Miracle Community Center. Huh. It was a guy in an old man Halloween mask. Very obvious. It was very huge. Like, you could tell it didn't fit that person's head. And it had, like, fake sunglasses on. Huh. Like, they showed him three different times.
I don't know. I would have saw that.
Because I was like, what is this? It's like, it wasn't trying to be like it was supposed to be an old man. It was very clearly a guy with a mask on.
You know, with
it
all,
was very weird.
These all happened in big crowd scenes, and I was kind of just scanning everything. I guess I couldn't catch everything, and I wish I would have had more time to watch everything, but I had to hurry up and leave for work right after this.
You know what, Dan? Don't jive on me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need it.
Don't lay the jive on
don't
me,
Dan.
Don't
lay the jive on me, Dan. The Ozone just trying to call a truce. Electros, they just didn't want it. It happens.
Ask your fiancé, Derek, because I can't hang, baby, you dig?
Yeah, and why was Ozone so creepy when he was on the roof? When he was
putting a sign up, then he just decides to start dancing to, like, music that either isn't there, he brought a radio
up there.
But
he had some very creepy, like, looks going on, too, during that. I was like, what is going on with this guy? He's definitely creeping me out there, for sure.
And when they're in that club, Radiotron or whatever, Ice-T's performing, and then he decides to grab one of the records that they're using for their music, and not just break it, but, like, stab it with an ice pick or something. And then he's holding up, like, one of the broken pieces, like he's, I don't know, like, trying to use it as a steering wheel or something at the end of it. Like, wow, this place is a mess.
Yeah, and when... Okay, they have the hearing, and the place is going to close. Like, without a doubt, they protest, it doesn't matter, place is going to close. So, all the kids are sitting on the front steps, and once again, multiple kids think the surveying equipment is cameras. Because he goes, put me on TV, like the third time this has happened in the movie. And then, Turbo steals that toolbox. One toolbox destroys everything. It ruins their entire plan. Like, that one guy's, like, so pissed, he, like, rips that poster on the ground.
If it were me, I wouldn't want somebody stealing my
tools. No, I wouldn't want somebody stealing either, but I don't think it would ruin my plans.
Well, he's running off with it, like, so purposefully, like, oh, shit, we might not get it back. Let's get the shit. So, I mean, I would have done that, too, but, like, these construction workers are almost as weird is all the dancing people, because one of them had, like, this out-of-control hipster beard, and another one's just, like looking all dirty with, like, a completely open shirt and just running after him like that. Like, why? You guys haven't even started working. You're just, like, setting up surveying equipment. Oh, God, I'm so hot. And just, let this beast out here.
And then he falls on the stairs, and then the workers, did they take him to the hospital? Or did they just go pick up their tools and be on their merry way?
I'd like to think they just looked down like scared little kids and went, oh shit, ran down, grabbed the tools, and ran off again.
Yeah, he fell. It was just pretty brutal.
And broke his leg, at least.
And
probably
his arm.
More stuff.
And his arm. He had a cast on his arm. So they go to the hospital where Dan was talking about how the Latina girl just comes out of the closet.
Well, first Ozone decides to stop by Kelly's place because she's decided to take the dancing part in Paris. And tell her what happened, and she decides to, you know, oh God, I gotta go see Turbo. And then her mom starts to object, and she goes, you know, well, let them hire someone else, or get me another ticket or something. Like, oh, fuck it, I either don't want the job or pay for my ticket again, you rich fucks. Because God knows I'm so much better than everybody else, I gotta drop everything and make you pay for it. So then, this is supposedly so important, and Ozone goes to drag her to the hospital, but not so important he didn't have to, you know, stop home and change outfits first.
Yeah, wearing a completely different outfit. They're at the hospital visiting with Turbo. He wakes up after a kiss from that Latina... What was her name, that Latina girl?
I feel weird
calling her Latina girl the entire time, but I really don't... Lucia. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, apparently that's her name. I never heard her call her them. I don't think she really had a name. The credits say she did, but they never called her anything. She kisses him. He wakes up. And then they're like, the one little girl runs out of the room. Come on in! He's okay! Mm. So, like, everybody is apparently
here. The whole hood.
Is at the hospital.
They probably all came in one car, too.
They all run in. Yeah, like a clown.
The hood clown car.
Clown car style. It was Magician's car.
Maybe the Mexican gang brought him.
Or it could have been the mime magician. It could have been his car. He could also be a clown, too, since he's a magician, a mime. You know, why not add clown to the resume, too?
Just let this be racist, Corey.
Just let it be racist? I was trying to let it be racist towards clowns.
Okay, sure. That's a thing.
We're making it a thing.
I actually had somebody get mad at me for accusing her of robot racism once, even though that's obviously not real. But then some people just have no sense of humor, and they're bitches, and well, I don't know why certain people would marry people like that. But anyway.
Well, I'm a clownist, so just saying.
Okay.
Putting it out there. Anyways, they start dancing at the hospital. Like, it's like, beat starts going, and Turbo starts, like, moving around in his hospital bed with a cast on his leg and a cast on his arm.
Elevated cast on
and
his leg.
And what does Ozone and Kelly do? They put on doctor's, like...
Scrubs?
Like, jackets.
Okay.
And then they have, stethoscopes, and they start, like, doing, like... stuff to him while they're dancing, and then they push his bed out in the hallway.
Which is convenient. Well, I guess hospital beds would be on wheels, but like something like that, a setup like that where you're meant to stay still, I don't think that would be on wheels.
Yeah. And then they roll him out in the hallway. Literally, this is the most insane.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, sexy nurses walk in, and they start joining in.
Go on YouTube and just type in Breaking 2 hospital scene. It comes up. It is insane. It is complete insanity. I literally kept saying to myself, what is going on?
Because the fat there's hot nurse nurses. Tries to break it
there's,
up.
There's doctors dancing in the middle of surgery. The guy getting surgery wakes up, starts bobbing his head.
No, wait. Their doctors are in surgery. Their guy flatlines. But then the dance crew bursts in. They're like, come on. They're just like, they start moving a little bit like, ah, oh, fucking, he's
and then
dead
the guy
anyway.
Comes back
but
alive.
Then the guy revives. The beat revived him. And then he gets up and starts dancing.
And then there's pregnant women dancing.
Oh, good. I wish they would have just had one just like, oh, just like reach down, hold up a baby like, ha!
Or just dancing with a baby dangling on the floor.
Oh, God. Or maybe grab the umbilical cord with the afterbirth still up there, just swing the baby around on the cord.
And it literally has this insane... this movie has some moments where they break out and dance, and it's very random and unnecessary, but this is complete... It is insane. It is the most insane thing in this movie. My mind was completely blown. And then at the end of it, Turbo... He runs into all these pillows, and he goes, what happened?
Well,
and
the mime throws him into, like, a wall of pillows that, God, they weren't even hospital pillows.
Yeah.
They were just, like, weird big 80s pillows, and just, ugh.
And it literally cuts from that, him running into the pillows and saying, what happened? Cuts, quick. Kelly and Ozone eating pizza together.
Yeah, Ozone eating pizza with his shirt off.
Shirtless and half unzipped pants.
Yep. And then, what was it, Kelly's mom or
her
dad?
Her
dad comes in and sees this and like, oh, great, this is fucking happening now.
Yeah, and what does he say something about?
He offers to pay the
all $200,000 or whatever.
Yeah,
or whatever
so
else
as
they
long
need.
As, you know, Kelly goes to Princeton then, and she's just like, no, forget it. And he goes, wise up. Your pride can't afford to turn down an offer like this, black man. Well, he didn't add black man, but that's basically what he's saying.
And then, I love when
they decide to break Turbo out of the hospital so that he can be there at the place. And as far as I know, it's only been like a day or so since he's been there. So like they decide to try to smuggle him out in like a laundry cart.
Well, just and, him and the Latina girl.
Yeah,
that's where she
is sneaking him out.
That's where she starts talking and
then,
she starts going, see, no.
And
the fat nurse
goes like, hey, you got to use the freight elevator for that. Like, and she's just like, no English. Like, oh, God, really? So... just like, oh, whatever, use it this time. But so then, right when she hits the door close button, Turbo decides to pop out and do a Woody Woodpecker laugh. And he goes
for
like,
for what reason, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, and he goes, you know, guess who?
Like, why did that happen?
Gotta troll the fat nurse.
Why? That's just so unbelievably weird. Yeah,
On their way back, you find out, oh, we're just bringing a fleet of bulldozers down the street to try to tear this place down, even though it hasn't been the full month yet, apparently. we're going to try to tear it down now anyway.
No, they had, after the hearing, they only had, like, so many hours to be done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they set a certain amount of hours. It was like 3 days or something. So all this, I guess all this could have happened in multiple days. So yeah, they have this huge, massive party. News crew shows up. The city pulls out. Douglas pulls out.
Well, wait. First of all, the kids are all gathered around.
Oh, well, the bulldozers.
The bulldozers roll up, and then they decide to, hit the beat. And so, what was it, Ozone's up on the roof, and then he decides to start, he throws a rope, like, around a flagpole hanging off the building and decides to, like, climb his way out to the end of the flagpole and then slide down the rope. And then start dancing. Like, yeah. Oh yeah, why not risk my life needlessly for this?
I was like,
so then all the kids start dancing.
Hit the music.
Yeah, they all start climbing up on the bulldozers and dancing. The little kids climbing like the big scoop on the front of it. And then the business guy's just like, keep going. The construction guy, the head of the gang, he's just like, you know, I'm not killing a bunch of kids. He's like, yes, you are. Like, yes, kill the kids. Why? Why would you do that? You could just call the cops. It'll take some time, but you'll get them all cleared out. Just kill the kids.
Yeah.
We'll build this shopping mall on children's blood.
Well, then he immediately changes his mind.
Only when the news crew shows up.
And well,
Howard from Channel 3 News.
When the city pulls out, then he ends up pulling out. And then...
Oh, yeah. I love how the one guy, like the accountant or whatever, like, we're pulling out of you, Douglas. He doesn't say that, but that's basically...
Yeah, and then he decides he's going to donate, like $2,000 or something. And then Byron's just telling him to up it. And then
he stops at $10,000. And then he ends up, like... Because God knows that was enough.
It wasn't. They needed, like... They literally needed, like, $140,000 more. Like... Why didn't he ask for the rest of it? I have no idea.
Well, they need a lot more than that at that point. But well, then they're just like, oh, let's have our show and we'll have it in the streets. And they announce it on the news. So then all of a sudden they've got a cast saw somehow. And they cut Turbo's casts off. And despite it only being a day or two, yeah, he can get up and dance again as if nothing were ever wrong with him.
Yeah, and then they have this huge party. Ice-T shows up again. And I did like the guy, one guy dancing who... was doing the thing with the wallet. He had that, like, wallet on the chain, and he was, like, jump roping with it, but on the ground, and, like, barely moving off the ground. Oh, God,
I missed that. You know, I was hypnotized by the fact that Kelly was wearing, like, this belt, like, held together in front by a pair of handcuffs, and then later in the movie, Ozone was wearing the same belt. Like, oh, they must be banging. You don't trade clothes like that unless you're doing that.
Damn, I was trying to find a picture of the guy in the mask, because literally I have written down, mask guy again, what the fuck? But I had no picture of him. Anyways.
Oh, and yeah. Ice-T showed up, I was like, oh, now it's a telethon, I guess?
Yeah, apparently this is being shown on TV and everything. Ice-T shows up, has this huge thing, which I really like that part. I like Ice-T, I thought that was awesome. And then all of a sudden, Kelly's parents decide to change their minds about everything.
Well, they say to the news guy, like, oh, we're at 70,000, but we still need a lot more. So then, like, 2 minutes later, suddenly they're at 150,000. And then Kelly's parents show up and decide to give him the rest of the money.
Yep, they get all the money.
It's okay, we realize you're following your heart now, even though you're still spending the shit out of our money to do it and not really doing any work yourself.
And they get
it's okay.
They get the money, and then all of a sudden... Well, right before then, Super Mega Neon. Everybody is in Super Mega Neon. And, like, why was Ozone, out of all the men, and why was his shirt one of those... It was like a Slayboy Camp. It was one of those fourth shirts.
It wasn't quite that small, but it was still... It was definitely like a 40% shirt or something.
It wasn't half, definitely. But it was very... I was like, why is he dressed like this? None of the other guys are dressed like this. Why him? Of all the people, I thought that was really weird. Everybody was so brightly neoned, completely out. Then yeah. the Electro team ends up teaming up with them. And
you know, it was like if you watch like any of those like pop punk emo bands from about, you know, I don't know, 5 to 7 years ago, and just all like neon everything everywhere. It was like that, only with 80s break dancing.
Kind of. I guess I can see that.
They should have just had like one of those paint parties on. Everybody wear a white shirt and we'll fling paint on each other. Neon paint. Then we'll all be paint people.
Or it could have been a key party.
Oh, God. That would be amazing. You know, I hadn't heard of that for the longest time until I saw it on an episode of That 70s Show, and I thought they made that up just for the show, and then I found out it was real. No, that's who you're going home with tonight. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that was Breaking 2. You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as terrible. I thought it was going to be unbearable.
No, but it was definitely unnecessary.
Oh, yeah, the whole movie is unnecessary. I mean, the dancing, the singing, the... Everything about it is just so unnecessary. I guess they just needed... Thing is, they made the sequel the same year. Like, it couldn't have taken long to make this movie. Though a lot of choreography had to have gone into this. So, like, did they make both of them back-to-back, just assuming the first one would do well?
That would be interesting. Maybe this is going to be a trilogy, like Back to the Future. And they were going to do the third one right after this. But then they got all the bad press, and its subtitle became a joke. And maybe somewhere there is a script for an unmade Breaking 3, and we could lobby to have a Criterion collection of this put out with the script included, like the unfinished fourth Sleepaway Camp and Anchor Bay's box set sitting on your shelf that I'm staring at right now.
If only Sleepaway Camp had a Criterion release. Though Armageddon had a Criterion release, so why not Sleepaway Camp? I forgot to read a quote from the only guest we've ever had on the show, our buddy Nick. He was asking me how the movie was going, and he was saying, I was like, oh, it's like a movie about with nothing but dancing, but in order to get it made, they had to have a plot. And he was like, oh, like a dance porn, like dance porno, like in a porno where they're having sex, but they have some sort of like random plot going on. And it was very similar. And I was like, yeah, well, the acting was better than a porno. And I was like, but I'm sure some people would consider this dance porn. Like, you know, people that get off on dancing. And his quote that he wanted me to include in this was, well, yeah, dancing is harder than fucking. Dancing is harder than getting fucked.
Well, I guess if you're not the one doing the work, then I guess dancing would be harder than that. But depends on how vigorous and adventurous you want to get.
Very true.
I mean, I like to pound away as if I were Evan Stone or Angry Kid from JJC, or if Evan Stone and Angry Kid from JJC had hate sex until one of them somehow impregnated the other, carried the baby to term the full 9 months, then as soon as it was born, fucked it to death.
Well, you know what? I think if those two people had a baby, it would have created Nick Manning. Oh, he's a porn star, and he has a catchphrase, and his catchphrase is dropping loads.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that was Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo, a very unnecessary movie. The name Electric Boogaloo is stamped onto every sequel ever. Like, oh, Predator 2, Electric Boogaloo. Like, imagine Predators dancing.
You know, they actually, the fourth series or story arc of the first Pokemon comic that came over to the U.S. was titled Electric Pikachu Boogaloo. That's where they ended it, though. But then... they had plenty more after that, and as far as I'm concerned, after like the second or third season, that whole series has been nothing but Electric Boogaloo, because the show goes fucking nowhere. That's well, why I'm what? A Digimon
I wouldn't
fan.
Mind a Pool Boy 2 Electric Boogaloo.
You know?
Well, I guess you saw Pool Boy 2. Yeah, because it's in the movie you see Pool Boy 2, so I guess it could be Pool Boy 3 Electric Boogaloo, but that doesn't go well.
Pool Boy 2-2, just like the Final Fantasy sequels. Final Fantasy 10-2.
Yeah, Pool Boy 2-2, Electric Boogaloo Lou. Add the extra Lou on there. Why not, right?
Or that could be a new character in the movie. It's Electric Boogaloo Lou.
Oh, God. Absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah, but this movie, it's just here. It's just one of the movies just there. I'd rather watch this than Rollerball, tell you that much. Definitely never revisit Rollerball again, and I probably won't revisit this movie, but if I had if it was life or death, I would go with Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. I'd get some decent music out of it and some decent breakdancing. Well, pretty good breakdancing. But, so next week on B-Movie Breakdown, we're going to tackle the 1982 Scott Baio, Willie Ames classic, Zapped. Teenage science nerds gain telekinetic power.
and apparently use them to flip up girls' skirts.
Yep.
Just like the White Ranger did in the original Japanese version of Power Rangers. It's true, it happened. The White Ranger was a kid in the Japanese version, and he used his telekinetic chi powers to flip girls' skirts up. First thing he did. I love that kid.
It's going to be a lot of stupid antics, and the tagline is the comedy that won't let you down.
Yeah, I'm kind of... Despite not having seen much of what he's done, I really don't
he's done a lot
care
of, like,
about
TV.
Him, really don't like him.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I first heard, years and years ago, when they first broke the news about how they were starting a new series, Star Trek Enterprise, and the guy I was talking to told me, oh yeah, they're going to have Scott Bakula as his captain, as its captain, and I was like, oh god, talk about scraping the bottom of the barrel. He's like, oh, I like Quantum Leap. I was like, oh shit. You said Bakula. I heard Bakula, but it registered as Bayo, and I was thinking Charles in Charge of the Enterprise.
Oh god. You know, I never really liked Charles in Charge. I remember it being on. I was never really a fan. But you know what, I did like Scott Bayo. He was only on a few episodes, but on Arrested Development. I thought he was funny on there. He played a character named Bob Blah Blah. And so I thought he was funny on Arrested Development. But other than that, I don't have much experience with Scott Baio. I wasn't ever, like, huge. I mean, obviously, I wasn't, like, born when Family Matters. I'm still in the family. Happy what? Days was around, but I've seen Happy Days in reruns and things like that, in syndication. But I never really cared about Chachi or Joni or their love of... for each other or anything like that. Or Joni loves Chachi, loves Myrtle, loves Urkel, loves Elmira, or whatever her fucking name was.
I'm Corey. I wasn't born when Family Matters is still in the air, except I was.
I hate you, Dan. I hate you. You know what? We're going to do a whole fat TGIF episode of the worst episodes of each TGIF show.
Oh, man. Let's get Hope and Faith in there.
I'm not going to dig that deep. That was like the dying days of TGIF.
Oh yeah, that was after they brought it back after it having been gone for years, but still. You know, it's a shame Working couldn't have hung on, and they could have added that to it too. Work It, there we go.
Oh yeah,
the cross-dressing guys.
I thought you meant there was that show Working, and it was with Fred Savage.
No, it was close enough, but no, yeah, we're guys and we can't find jobs, so we gotta cross-dress really obviously, and nobody can tell that we're guys in drag, and...
Well... Next week, Zapped with Scott Baio, 1982. I remember seeing this at the video store all the time. We'll see what this comedy has in store for us. I'm sure it's going to be quite... So, Charles in Charge of Girls' Skirts. B-Movie Breakdown, bmbpodcast.com, BMB Podcast, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Google, BMB Podcast, that's our stuff online. Check it out. Subscribe on iTunes. For B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. Don't lay the jive on me, man. Help me get rid of this electric boogaloo dick.
It's the best of the worst. B-Movie.